Oh gosh. Well, today I'll be concluding the series I've been doing through the month of August on You Asked For It. And the subject I'll be dealing with today came from a question from Colleen for Hemi. And she asked about how do you use unity principles or truth teachings in coming to terms with one's own oftentimes sense of not being enough and the shame or the less than-ness that we feel in our daily lives. So Colleen, dear one, this is for you. And my talk title is You Asked For It, Self-Esteem. Am I enough? Am I enough? So I think all of us as humanity throughout our lives question that probably on a daily basis, sometimes an hour-by-hour basis, just depending on what's going on in our lives, do we not? And we are conditioned from that outer human physical level to always be looking at those comparisons are of, am I good enough and do I measure up? And we forget in scripture from Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So this is the foundation of the truth of who we are, and yet our world constantly, through various means, what, advertising, right? That affects how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about, are we, what is it, living up to the Joneses, and the old adage, and I don't think it's so true anymore, but he who has the most toys when he dies wins. How many of you have heard that one? You know, now, thank goodness that's kind of falling away a little bit now, but think about the advertisement we see all the time on the TV that tells us to have whiter teeth and lose weight and all of the things that it says we should be. To say nothing about, oh my gosh, social media. How many of you are on Twitter, Facebook, anything? And oh, all these people post wonderful things in their lives and see all these pictures and oh man. And of course, it is human nature to judge and compare because throughout our lifetimes, that's what we've been taught, is it not? Through our culture, through our families, in the workplace, when we're trying to work our way forward or get a better salary or be good enough in our job. And all of the different ways that we compare, whether through racial issues, comparison of skin colors, cultures. One is better, one is not so good. With the genders, the male dominance oftentimes. So just as you're sitting here today and experiencing the talk, I want you to be aware of for yourself the perhaps subtle and sometimes not so subtle ways that you judge yourself, and not only yourself, but how you judge others. Because it's a natural tendency from that place of being human to judge others in order to make ourselves feel not so bad about ourselves. We don't even realize that. Oh, look at them, you know, blah, 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 blah. Oh, well, then I must be okay. Anne Lamind, Bachelor of Arts, she is a founder of Learning Mind website. She's an author and a spiritual teacher, and she says, so many people are busy comparing their lives to someone else's and competing with each other. Too often, they are affected by other people's expectations without even realizing it. How many times do we find ourselves trying to live up to something? Oh, the color of my lipstick is too bright, or it's not enough, or how many things? Come on, call out. What ways do you judge yourself? The car you drive. Oh, man. I can relate to that. Okay. how many weeds are in my yard, and who's driving by and going, oh my gosh, what's up with those people, right? Too tall. Susan, is anyone posting anything? Okay. Pop those in there, you guys. Yeah, for those of you at home. Oh my gosh, I mean, and those are just a few. And in this moment, you know, my sister always says, well, you ask me that question, and then I'm like on the spot. But see, that's the thing. Our mind blanks out on them because it's hard to acknowledge how much that is running in the background of our thoughts all the time. She goes on to say, too often we're all affected by other people's expectations without realizing it. They set goals and make choices just to find out later that this was not what they actually wanted. Have you ever done that? Oh my gosh, I need to go to college. I need to have a master's. I need to have a doctorate in order to be good enough, in order to perhaps please my family, my parents. Ultimately, the most important thing, she says, though, is to stay loyal to yourself and to make sure you are chasing your goals, not someone else's. And from a Buddhist quote from Zen Shin, which is a unique meditation practice, it says, a flower does not think of competing to the flower next to it. It just blooms. It just blooms. Can you feel that in your heart, in your soul for a moment? What it might be like to just bloom. And Susan, thanks. We have some comments.
So Vicki Thompson says, is my house clean enough? And Tamara Ashley says, what's wrong with my nationality?
Whoa, yes, indeed. And in our world and in humanity, all the isms that we're facing up against are all criticisms, judgments, putting people into boxes, comparisons. And those kinds of things that come up are just so detrimental to the beauty of who we are and who we can be and how we can express. So Anne Lamine, in this wonderful website, I love this. This is another website she does. It's Power of the Misfits, powerofthemisfits.com. And it's quotes about comparing yourself to others. But this is a little bit of an article that she wrote about that. And she said, here's some of the dangers that we run across in comparing ourselves. It kills our self-esteem when we compare. The most obvious consequence of unproductive comparison is that they make you feel bad about yourself. And think about this. We talked about this actually in the Wednesday group. We often compare our lows when we're down to other people's highs, which is totally pointless. Another thing is the unhealthy emotions that arise out of comparison and judgment. Not just your self-esteem, but your overall mental health suffers when you compare yourself to others. Damaging emotions such as envy, anger, and bitterness cloud your mind. And then she says, and it can lead us to move into the wrong company. How many of you, perhaps in business or way back in school, remember you wanted to be part of the in crowd, so you tried to be cool, you know, and then I know I did that at times. I'm like, I don't relate to these people, though. They don't have the heart the way I have a certain heart, and to not make them wrong and not make me right, but to not make myself wrong either. And in a job, in the workplace, how often do we sort of, you know, ride on the coattails of a boss thinking we need to climb up that ladder or get the best grades or be voted the most popular? So we can end up being in the wrong company when we pursue others rather than our like-minded friends, and we then hang out with people who are not the best to be in relationship with. Fourth, she says, fake life. That's what happens with comparisons, right? This is a real plague of today's society, which is driven by social media, is it not? Kardashians. Was I able to say that without any kind of judgment showing on my face? No, I'm human too. Not that I consider them bad, but I mean, so much that that where we get off track, friends, when we're following social media or Real Housewives on TV or any of the many, many programs out there that come so much from that egoic human perspective of beingness that is about judgment and comparison and trying to be enough. And she says, if you compare yourself to others all the time, you're never satisfied. Someone will always be younger, prettier, and more successful than you are. Thus, you may too begin to build a fake facade to appear richer, smarter, and more attractive than you are. So it's hard to kind of acknowledge that, each in our own way, of what kind of a front do we sometimes put forward in order to be accepted, in order to be okay enough. And to just begin to be aware of how this affects our lives and robs us of the truth of our being. It robs us of peace of mind. It robs us of contributing our own personal, unique expression in this world. So these are some of the dangers that we face in our comparisons, but the biggest issue that happens when we start running these old tapes of comparison and judgment and measuring against is that where does that activity reside? Resides here in our human egoic personality self. So when we start running that, what is the an acronym for ego? Edging God out, right? So it's when we are running that in our minds, when we, anytime we're comparing ourselves, anytime we feel we don't measure up, what are we telling the godness of our being? God made me junk, right? There's some kind of cute posters that were around. God don't make no junk, right? Yeah. And so in this element of living into the true fullness of who we are, it is beginning to recognize and be more aware of all the places where, through our ego, we edge our connection to infinite spirit out. From scripture in Luke 6, verse 37, it says, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Well, friends, you know, we always think it's judge not because it's like God up here is going to judge us, right? Well, God is the godness, the creative force of the entire universe does not judge. There's no human mind to compare or judge. God is just beingness. So when it's talking about judge not and you will not be judged, it's recognizing that when we judge, what are we doing? We're comparing ourselves to another person. And if we do not judge them, and sometimes we judge ourselves, but if we do not go down that path, then we are not judged. We are received and accepted as we are. You will not be condemned. And of course, this is biblical language. But in other words, you will not fall into that place of sadness and separation from the beauty and the truth of who you are. And in James 4, verse 6, it says, God opposes the proud. Now, God, again, is not a being that opposes you. It's talking about the flow of spirit when we are in our ego perspective, then, and our pride comes forth, then that ego perception does not serve us well. And we do not run into a smoothness in life, a peacefulness in life, And it goes on to say, but gives grace to the humble. And what it means by that is there is grace that we find when we are connected to our own inner presence. That's what the humbleness is. It's not being less than. It's not groveling on the floor. It's accepting ourselves as we are and recognizing every single one of us is beautiful and unique, created in the image and likeness of the expression of the universe. And like every snowflake, no two are ever alike. Would you compare? Well, you might like a banana better than an orange, but you're not going to say the orange is really messed up because it doesn't have a yellow outer skin on it. But we do those kinds of things to ourselves and to others all the time in our judgments. And so in this process of exploring what kinds of activities can we engage in, what does unity or what do truth principles, unity isn't its own self, it's about spiritual truth principles. How do utilizing truth principles help us navigate in being enough, in sensing that within ourselves? There's an unknown quote that says, be confident. Too many days are wasted comparing ourselves to others and wishing to be something we aren't. Everybody has their own strengths and weaknesses, and it is only when you accept everything you are and aren't. That's important to realize, because don't we typically look at all that we are and we want to kind of push into the shadow the parts that we think we aren't, as though we should be everything, as opposed to just acknowledging who we are and that is enough as it is. So it's accept everything you are and aren't. And that's when we'll truly succeed, friends. It's a self-acceptance. It's a beginning to make that shift from the criticism, the judgment of ourselves, of others, that we live in so much of the time, in our comparisons, in our social media, in all of our outer world. And it takes us apart from our oneness, our centeredness, our connection to infinite spirit. I love this quote from Judy Garland. She said, always be a first-rate version of yourself and not a second-rate version of someone else. How often are we trying to be like someone else? Throughout my life, I have certainly thought that that's what I needed to be in order to be okay. And so as we are exploring the kinds of ways in which we can use spiritual truth, unity teachings, to begin to heal ourselves of that separateness, of that place where we feel a sense of shame because we're not good enough, the first thing is to begin to recognize it, out of the five principles of unity, the second principle is we are co-creators with God. We are made in that image and likeness. We are inherently all good. And to remember again that we are our own flower and we're not comparing ourselves to any other blossom, any other species, any other plant. To really begin to acknowledge that. And what it takes is prayer or mindfulness. The willingness to be conscious and notice when we are judging, when we are comparing, when a part of us gets off track. That's what prayer is about, what mindfulness is about, is whether your eyes are closed, whether your eyes are open, taking that time apart to connect to the spirit of who you are and to begin praising with a sense of gratitude your own unique qualities and beginning to let those shine forth and to begin to live into them. But it takes our willingness to do that work, Because we have for so long been a part of the habit of our world, of human consciousness, of that one-upmanship, of that judgment rat race, the little hamster wheel, I call it. So it takes us doing the work. And oftentimes, you know, in our prayer, we can turn to the Spirit of God, but we sometimes get off track and expecting God to do this for us, right? We expect God to do this for us. And the truth is, God doesn't do anything. God is the isness of all creation ever present. There is only one presence, one power in our universe. So if there's going to be a shift and a change, it's not because God is going to come down and shake and rattle us and it's going to be different and God, you know, did this. The doingness, friends, is on our part. And that's like the fifth principle Unity talks about, is taking action on what we know and to begin practicing the things that are important, to begin shifting from perceiving our world from our outer human, judgmental, critical perceptions, and shifting into the core of our being. Connecting within to God's loving presence reminds us we're always enough. Not some of the time, friends. And I bet your mind, just like mine, is going, no, I know I'm not enough some of the time. How many of you thought that? You can raise your hand. Yeah, that is how deeply ingrained that those ideas are in us, because to say that we are always enough doesn't mean that we aren't going to be a different kind of enough in the next moment or the next moment after that. But in this now moment, friends, we are always enough. And when we breathe into that, when we begin this practicing of mindfulness, of our choiceful doing the work, to notice, oh, there went that thought again. Oh, I see that thought. Oh, okay, let me bring back out from my egoic mind, critical, judgmental, comparison self, breathe into my heart and my soul. Be the blossoming flower that I am, that no one else knows what that's going to look like. No one else knows what that journey is for that flower. There are no comparisons. We are always enough, even though in some moments we feel that we fall short of the mark. And it doesn't mean when we say we're always enough that we aren't mindful of the actions that we take and choices that we make and what happens from those actions, and changing course. And that's the doingness that's a part of our work to do. And we are always enough, just as we are. And breathing into that prayerfully, allowing Spirit to just light up from within is how we utilize spiritual principles, truth principles, Unity principles. It is willing to do the work of recognizing in ourselves where we are living in our ego, where we are living in the outer world of judgment and comparison, and say, stop. I'm going to breathe into Spirit. Because when I am one with Spirit, I am always enough. In Scripture, from Psalms 139:13-14, it says, "For you created my innermost parts. I will give thanks to you because I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." Friends, breathe for a minute right now into your soul. Breathe into that place, that even though the head doubts, and it's going to do that, and that's a part of being human. But our job is to recognize that and not let it be in the driver's seat. Breathe into your soul because your soul knows it well. And from Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst. In other words, Godness, infinite spirit, is in our midst all the time. He will, or it will, rejoice over you with gladness, will renew you in love, and will exalt over you with loud singing. You know, it's kind of like having the greatest parent in the world that just, you know, beams love. And to be that for ourselves is so important. Susie Kasem, who is a European poet, a philosopher, she said, whatever your passion is, keep doing it. Don't waste time chasing after success or comparing yourself to others. Here's the same theme again. Every flower blooms at a different pace. And Thich Nhat Hanh, an amazing philosopher, a Buddhist monk, theologian, says, to be beautiful means to be yourself, not someone else, to be you. He goes on to say, you don't need to be accepted by others either. How much of our lives do we go through seeking acceptance because we think that's how we will be loved? And love, friends, does not come from outside of us. Love comes from within and as it us. And we experience it and multiply it when we share it with each other. And the last, so I will read the whole thing. To be beautiful means to be yourself. You don't need to be accepted by others. You need to accept yourself. So friends, let's breathe into this week to come and just kind of notice. You know, don't get down on yourself, because that sort of defeats the purpose here. But to just recognize, oh my gosh, look at that. I'm not feeling so great about myself right now. And, it doesn't mean that we can't look at others and appreciate perhaps their beauty or their stature or their tallness or their shortness or their artistic capacity or the ability to sing or any of those things that we may not be a part of who we are. Doesn't mean we can't look at those things and appreciate them, but we don't compare them against us and set, you know, a table, an Excel spreadsheet on where we measure up, where we don't. So breathe this week. Breathe into you. Be grateful. Recognize. Notice who you are. All of the capabilities you have. Begin to make some lists, and not the regular lists. You know, we always write the same thing. Write some of the different things you kind of notice. Like, you know, I'm really quirky and weird, and I'm awesome in my quirky and weirdness. You know, those are the things we don't always think about. Appreciate all of who you are. Make some lists around that. And I will close with a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson, transcendentalist, philosopher, poet, essayist. To be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment. Let's be who we are and not buy into everybody else's idea who they think we should be or the preconceived notions that we've created ourselves. So live into being the greatest you can be.